Awesome. Wow. Well, so thank you, Lord. Well, hey, I just wanted to, I've got like 19 minutes. I'm going to, around about, and I'm going to just plow through some stuff, and I hope that's okay. I want to talk to you about something that's on my heart, and by the way, I just want to share something about the prophetic, and that is that whenever a prophetic word is released, it's not just to point something out, it's to release something. And so it's not to point out what's happening, it's to release grace to empower you in that particular situation that's pointed out. So if you received a prophetic word this morning, or a prophetic encounter, or this, that, or the other thing, then you can be rest assured that grace has actually come to you today to empower you within that particular situation that was pointed out. Grace is the power to do something that you couldn't do before you received the grace. So there has been power released in the room to enable people to do things that they couldn't do before the power was released. And so, sir, with you and your dream, there's been breakthrough released in the room. And by the way, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy being the release of grace to do something that you couldn't do before you received the grace. And so, sir, with you, what's happened is you've received grace, both healing grace to come over your heart, to restore your physical heart, and also there's grace now to have walk in a place of dominion in your dreams. And so I just wanted to point that out. And so Psalm 24, we're gonna. This is our main sort of scripture today, Psalm 24. And I'm going to, I suppose I don't need to, but I'm just going to read the whole thing. Okay? So, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob. Everyone say, this is Jacob. This is Jacob. Now, Jacob was an individual person, right? Jacob was a person, one person. But it says this in the scripture, it says, this is Jacob, the generation, referring to what rested on one individual actually being something that would rest on an entire generation. That, in other words, Jacob was a prototype, an individual example of something that God wanted to replicate corporately in a generation. In other words, Jacob was a prophetic sign of what would be true of an entire generation that would be in the future, which you and I are part of that generation. Okay, so this is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. We are that generation. We're the generation that's like, we're not happy with just coming to church and just, you know, not having any kind of real experience with God, but we are like, God, we want you. We're not happy with religion or playing games or just singing songs. We want you. We want the reality of who you are in our lives. Who seek your face. And then it says, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come. And who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. And who is the King of glory? He's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So it's saying this. I'm going to unpack this psalm to you. It's speaking to a generation. It's speaking to the generation of Jacob, which is you and I, the generation that seek his face. This is a psalm that is addressing you and me in the room right now. It's a prophetic psalm spoken through King David that's addressing you and I in the room right now. And he says, lift up your heads, O you gates. In other words, Lift up your awareness. Lift up your self-leadership. Lift up the authority that you have over your own life to make your own choices, your own decisions. Lift up your head, your place of authority in your own life. We all have the capacity, we all have the responsibility to be powerful people and to make our own choices. God will never take the power of free choice away from you. He always gives you two trees in every garden of your life. There's always two choices. You always have the capacity to make the choice. He has given you authority over your own life. And we have the option of whether we bring that authority under God's authority or not. And when we do, we bring our authority under His authority, then all of a sudden we benefit from His authority through our lives. So it's saying, lift up your heads, lift up the authority of your life that God has given you and your consciousness, your eyes and ears, to be aware of something. Lift up your heads, lift up your heads, be aware of God. And then it says, O you gates. In other words, you're a gate. Now, there's lots to be said about that, and there's multiple messages to be preached on that. But in a nutshell, you are an entrance point between heaven and earth. You are a walking open heaven. And if you didn't know that, know it. Because here's the thing, like, the gate's either shut or it's open. In other words, according to the psalmist, the head is either up or it's down. You're either concerned about the things around you, trying to do life on your own, making it work, trying to make it all happen in and of yourself, or you're walking in a way where you're trusting in the presence of the Lord that's with you every second of every day, and you're going, God, I just trust you, and you're lifting up your heads, and you're adjusting your life to come into alignment with the fact that God is with you, and you're adjusting your expectation to come in alignment with that, so that now you're walking in a living hope that God is with me, and everything I do, I'm going to live as if that were actually true, that God is actually with me. And when you're living like that with your authority lifted up to the Lord, God, I give the self-authority that you've given me over my own life to you. I come under your authority and I live in an awareness of you. Then the gates open and the King of Glory comes in through your life. You activate the truth that you are actually a walking open heaven. Jesus did it. You know, in the Hebrew mind, the temple was the place where it was understood where heaven and earth intersected. Any Hebrew person would have been able to tell you that. That it was a place where God dwelt. It was a place where God's stuff happened. It was a place where heaven and earth intersected. If you wanted a blessing from heaven, you had to go to the temple in Jesus' day. If you wanted your sins forgiven, you have to go to the temple because that's a blessing from heaven. If you want some kind of healing, then you have to go to the temple. If you wanted peace with God, then you go to the temple. If you want the blessings of heaven, then you go to the temple. If you want God on your side, then you offer sacrifices at the temple because that's the place where heaven and earth intersect. That's in the Hebrew mind back in those days, the gate of heaven. That's the gate of heaven. The gate through which heaven comes into the earth. The place where God dwells. And then Jesus goes around and does stuff like this. He goes, hey buddy, pick up your mat and walk. Your sins are forgiven you. And the guys around him are like, bro, only the temple can do that. Like, you can't just go around forgiving people's sins. They have to go to the temple, make a sacrifice, and have their sins forgiven at the temple in the right way. And what Jesus is saying in those kinds of statements, and they're right through Jesus' life, from beginning to end. What he's saying by that is he's saying, mate, you don't need the temple when you've got me. And my job is to bring many sons into glory. In other words, to replicate this temple life over a generation, that is this generation of Jacob. In other words, the temple, that building is no longer the place where heaven and earth intersect as much as me and the people that I'm raising up, my disciples. We are now the walking temple. We are now the place. I am now the place. And you are now the place. And you are now the place. And you are now the place where heaven and earth intersect. Where the blessings of heaven and the King of Glory and the hosts of heaven, the angels, the Lord of the hosts of heaven, where heaven comes in through you and I. We're walking open heavens. I don't know about you, but that just moderately excites me. I was in Melbourne the other day, and it all sort of molds together. The other day, a few days ago, it's fresh in my memory. And I was telling this story about in Nebraska, how this puppy that had died and went into rigor mortis, and I might have probably told the story here because I love this story. It's just awesome. Is this rigor mortis stiff dead puppy was brought into a meeting at the beginning of the meeting, and we laid hands on this puppy, and the puppy got raised from the dead. And it was just awesome. Just awesome. And the people in the room, it was this leaders school training leaders of this particular movement in Melbourne to walk in kingdom culture, walk in this open heaven kind of culture. Just a training kind of thing that they wanted to start initiating kingdom culture in their movement. It was pretty cool. And anyway, one of the people there was a scientist, and she had never considered that raising the dead could be applied to animals. She always thought, well, raising a person from the dead is one thing, but I don't think, in her head, it was like, I just don't think God's that interested in animals. And she thought, well, that's a whole new thing for me, to think that God could raise animals from the dead. That would be good practice. And anyway, in the morning, she had two of her goldfish, her only two goldfish, had died. Okay, had died, and she's a scientist, right? So she does, you know, I know this may be controversial, but she does maybe tests on some animals and things like that. And so they died of this virus that had caused their fins to do something weird and their spines to snap or something. And she went through the whole thing, and I was like, phew, over my head, they died. And so in the morning, 7 a.m, she got them, scooped them out, shook the water off, because she's wanting to isolate the virus, shook the water off. And then she put them in a Ziploc bag about this big, and then squeezed all the moisture that she could out and all the air out, and then sealed the bag, made sure it was sealed, and she's going to detail to make sure that we hear that she sealed the bag. She puts the bag in the trash can, in the rubbish bin, and then she comes to the meeting and hears about the dead dog being raised from the dead. And then she's on the way home, and her friend says, do you want to come out, come in and have a feed, have some dinner? And she's like, okay. And then it gets to the end of dinner. It's like 11 o'clock at night, from 7 till 11. And she's on the way home, she feels the Holy Spirit say to her, would you like me to raise your goldfish from the dead? And she's like, is that you, God? Oh, I'd love that. Oh, am I just thinking those thoughts because Matt shared the testimony? Oh, would you do that? Okay. And she's kind of freaking out because now she's stuck in between a rock and a hard place thinking, if I open the trash can lid when I get home and the fish are back to life, then I won't know what to do with that. But if they're still dead, I'll be disappointed. So I don't know what to do. So anyway, she gets home and she lifts open the rubbish bin lid. And the bag's there, it's like tacoed, bent in the middle. There's a fish over this side in dry, with you know, exactly how she left it, dead, shriveled up, wrinkled, and dried out like a dry fish. And then on this side, there's about this much water. The bag's still sealed, by the way, it's not unsealed. The bag's still sealed, and there's supernaturally this much water in the bag, and the goldfish is swimming around, perfectly healthy. She analyzed the fish. She said, no virus. The fins are perfect. The spine's perfect. Swimming around. And she was like, whoa, that's awesome. And what it was a prophetic sign for the church. And it spoke this message. It said that as a goldfish, glory, gold is glory, you know, and the King of Glory wants to come in through your life. And what the message was there are two options. There's either the option to live your life practically in an everyday sense outside of an awareness of his presence and outside of actively engaging in his presence. And if you do that, you're like a fish out of water. Just as a fish needs water, we need his presence. And we die without his presence. We die without living in an active awareness of this presence. You could be like that, or you could choose to lift up your head and become aware of his presence. And the environment that you were born to live in, you could be surrounded in. And it doesn't matter what condition your life is in, you could be in a trash can. You could be in the rubbishy, most rubbishy place in life. But if you choose to lift up your head and go, God, I just trust that you're with me. Even in the trash, I just trust that you're with me. Then he would flood your world with his world, and you could live in his world. You were born to live in his world. You were born to live in his world. As a fish is born to live in water, so are we born to live in his world, in an open heaven. In an open heaven. I love that I was in Orewa, just past the North Shore of Auckland, and not long ago. And I had such a fun time in this little tiny church. Such a fun church. And we got to, it was feeling just like this, actually. It was feeling literally just like, people were looking just like you're looking. They were just sitting there quiet, like listening, going, oh yeah, what's going to happen next? Just exactly like this, probably about the same number of people and everything. And we start praying for the sick, and it was just a simple, okay, if you're sick, you know, put your hand on the place where there's pain. And we started praying, people started getting healed. Nothing flash, just people started getting healed. And it was awesome. And then I said, if you're sitting next to someone and they need prayer, then just ask if you can put your hand on their part that needs healing, if it's appropriate, of course. And this guy, and I said, repeat this prayer, be healed in Jesus' name. And this guy had put his hand on his friend's ear. Now, his friend from South Africa was deaf, totally deaf in the ear. The reason he was deaf is because he'd been smacked in the head so many times through abuse and things like that. The first time it split his eardrum, but it healed up. Second time had really split his eardrum bad, and it didn't quite heal up. And the third time that it happened, it had blown his eardrum clean out. He had no eardrum left. Like, he needed a new eardrum. He had zero eardrum in his ear. So this guy puts his hand on his ear and says, be healed in Jesus' name. And the guy's like, starts weeping. And he's clapping. He's going like this. And he's, ooh, ooh, ooh. And I'm like, what's going on over here? And he goes, I can hear it. I can hear it. I can hear it. And I'm like, what's changed? And he said, I have no eardrum, but I can hear perfectly. Now, that's awesome. And this is the kind of thing we can expect in an open heaven life. This is the kind of thing we can expect when God walks into a room at the same time as you walking into a room. What happens when God walks into a room? Well, it seems normal that deaf people would be able to hear. That would be normal, wouldn't it? It would be normal that people would find their voice. It would be normal that people's hearts would be healed. That would be normal. And so that was awesome. And then I have this word from. And it's just like a picture. Now, of course, when God's with you, it's normal to prophesy. It's normal to know what's going on in people's lives so that you can release heaven's blessing and see them come into greater levels of freedom and restoration and God activity in their lives. And I said this. I said, I see this picture of you in a boxing ring, and you're boxing, and you're fighting hard, and then Jesus comes in, and he rings the bell, and he says, fight's over. And I said, I feel like it's not about your ear, but I feel like your ear's a sign that the fight's over. The fact your ear got healed is a sign the fight's over in your life. You've been fighting, man, but fight's over. Now, what I didn't know is that 4 years ago, he had moved to South Africa, to New Zealand from South Africa, and this was his first time in a church in 4 years. And he had moved over with his mum and his dad and his brothers and sisters. And the week he got here, his dad lost it at the family and left. And no one had heard from the family had not heard from the father in 4 years. Not a text message, not a Facebook message, not an email, not a phone call. They didn't know if he was dead or alive. They had no way of contacting him. He had just ditched the family. And so his fight was this. His fight is that he had been working four jobs, trying to provide for his family, trying to take his dad, do what his dad was meant to be doing. And he was just at his end's wit. He had no time for anything. He was just stressed out. He was like, I'm the only one that can provide any money. We don't want to have to go back to South Africa. And he was just like freaking out. And And so I give that word to him. I say, fight's over. And 30 seconds later, I'm just starting to prophesy over the next person. And then but everyone's still kind of looking at him because everyone's amazed at his ear and he's still clapping, you know. And he starts bawling. And what I found out is that the text message was this. Hey, son, thinking of you, love you, miss you, your dad. Unknown number. Unknown number. 30 seconds after the word, his dad, something drops in his dad's heart. God spoke to his dad. God softened his dad's heart. And he texts his son for the first time in 4 years and makes contact. I haven't heard what's happened since. But I'll tell you, families being restored is normal in an open heaven. That when your open heaven walks past someone that has a broken family or broken relationship, then that open the glory of God jumps out of the open heaven on the inside of you as you're walking in an awareness of Him, jumps out of the open heaven that's around you and jumps onto that family. And that's normal for families to have those kind of experiences when they rub shoulders with you. Because you carry an open heaven. I'm going to go just a couple of minutes past 12. So what qualifies you to walk in an open heaven? How do you, I mean, there's many different answers to this, but I want to fundamentally answer this question. How do you walk in an open heaven? There's lots and lots of different answers, but there's a foundational answer that you need to get before you explore any of the other answers. It's the foundation of walking in an open heaven is this. You didn't earn it. It's your inheritance. It's yours because you're a child of God, no other reason. You don't walk in an open heaven because you prayed 10 hours a day. Praying 10 hours a day may make you more aware of the open heaven that is already around you. It may help you to activate the open heaven that's around you, but you have the open heaven because of who you are, not what you do. And I'm going to prove that to you. Psalm 24 says, this is Jacob, the generation of those who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. Psalm 24, David is referring to something that's something that took place in Genesis 28. So let's turn to Genesis 28. He's referring to the picture of Jacob. You'll see this. Genesis 28. Bear with me. Genesis 28. Before I read Genesis 28, I want to you stay on Genesis 28. I'm just going to quote a scripture to you. It's in Psalm 118, and Jesus uses it in Matthew 21 when he's talking to the Pharisees, and he says this. He says, the stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Do you remember that? The stone the builders rejected. Now, this is all related to Psalm 24, so just bear with me. The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Stone is a Hebrew word, aben. In Aramaic, I think it's aven. It's about the same. Aben is a compound word made up of two Hebrew words. Abba, which means father, and ben, which means son. Aben is a translated stone, is a word that is a picture word, an illustration of a father and a son walking as one. A father walking with his son, delighting in his son, and a son walking consciously with his father, delighting in his father. It's a word that speaks of covenant relationship between a father and his son, or a father and his daughter, if you're a female in here. And what he's referring to is he's saying the stone the builders rejected or this relationship that God has always wanted to have with his people that was rejected in Moses' days when God said, I want to talk to Israel. And the children of Israel said, Moses, you go talk to him. And he came back with the law, right? He came back with something that would replace real relationship for a season until Christ. The stone the builders rejected has now become the chief cornerstone. What the cornerstone of what? The cornerstone of the temple, of course. And what's the temple about? The temple's about walking in an open heaven. It's a place where heaven and earth intersect. It's that the chief cornerstone, the thing that aligns you to walk as a living temple, is Christ, and specifically Christ's relationship with his dad. And the relationship that Jesus had with his dad, with his heavenly father, is the same relationship that is available to you as a child of God. And so in Genesis 28, we have this picture of Jacob. Remember, Jacob is an individual who is an individual example, an individual prophetic sign of what God wanted to be true about an entire generation to follow. Okay? And this is what it says. Listen to this. Now Jacob, in verse 10, Genesis 28, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones, Hebrew word Aben. You get that? Hebrew word Aben. Aben is, remember, this picture of the covenant relationship that is available to every son and every daughter. Aben is this walk where you're walking with God and God is walking with you. Where God is more, before he's your master, he's your dad. Before you're his servant, you're his son. That he is this father that loves you and loves you and loves you, not because of anything you do, but because you're his child. It says this, one of the stones from that place, and put it at his head. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Put it at his head. This is what lifting up your head looks like. It looks like resting on a rock. And what's the rock? It's this relationship that a son has with his father. And he lay down in that place to sleep. And then he dreamed. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Lift up your heads, O you gates, that the King of glory might come in. Who is the King? The Lord of hosts. In other words, the Lord of the angel armies. And what happens when he comes? The angels ascend and descend on the ladder. You see that? And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. On the land which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. God wants to give you a land. And goes on and goes on. And then in verse 16, it says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And then he said, and he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the, ready? Gate of heaven. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. What is David talking about? He's saying, lift up your heads, O ye gates, that the King of glory might come in. And Jacob's going, see this stone? It's time for you to rest. It's time for you to put this stone down and lay back on the stone. Lay back on this. It's time to cease from your own striving. Don't stop working, but stop trying to work to get God to do something and start working from what God's already doing. Stop trying to work for God's blessing and start working from God's blessing. Stop trying to twist God's arm and realize that God's arm is already firmly around you. That it's time to stop. It's time to cease striving as if we were living life on our own. And it's time to just lie back, rest the authority of your life, rest the consciousness of your life on this truth. That my dad and me are one. That just like the stone is fused together. The father and the son, you and your dad are one, and nothing will ever break that. It's as solid as a rock. It's unbreakable. That there's nothing you can do that can steer him away from you, and there's nothing that you can do that can get him closer to you, because he's already so close to you that he can't get any closer. He's so close to you that he's one with you. His spirit and your spirit are one spirit. He's so covenanted to you that he refuses for you to take one step that he doesn't take with you. I don't know how many steps you've seen me take. Well, I walk around all the time when I'm talking like this. But every step that you've seen me take is a step that God took with me. Every breath that you breathe is a breath that God is in and he breathes it with you. Every thought that you think is a thought that he thinks with you. And then you think, whoa, you don't know what I've been thinking about. I don't know what you've been thinking about, but God has thought those thoughts with you. Like I said, it doesn't matter if you're in a trash can or out of a trash can. It doesn't matter if you're in the in the pit, or if you are triumphing in life. God wants to be with you, and in fact, not just that, he is with you. And what he actually wants is for you to recognize that that's true, and for you to adjust your expectations of life. So here's the thing. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And what's that word hope? It means the sure and joyful expectation of the very best outcome. It's time to adjust our hope, our expectation on life, to align with the chief cornerstone and to be a stone like he's a stone. In other words, to be a son like he's a son, to be a child like he's a child, and to rest on this fact, my dad loves me and my dad won't leave me. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? So what qualifies you to walk in an open heaven, to see deaf ears open, to see goldfish raised from the dead, to see my friend Frankie, she's looking after kids the other day, and she works at a daycare, and she's got those little toy cars, and she's got one of those little carpet rugs with the imprint of the road on the rug, you know? And she's racing the cars around, and the Holy Spirit says to her, because it's normal for the Holy Spirit to talk to you when God's with you, eh? The Holy Spirit talks to her just the same way as he would talk to you and says, watch this. And she goes, just that, watch this. And she hoons the car around the roundabout, and the kid's like, and then she looks down and there's a diamond that big just in the middle of the roundabout on the carpet, this just manifested out of heaven. Now, I have a clue what that means, but I think it's normal in an open heaven for things like that to happen. I think it's just a sign, if nothing else, that, Frankie, I'm with you and the heavens are open over you. You know, I think that's just got to, I love the fact that my friend at our church, he's, this one story, I'll finish with this last story, okay? Because you asked me for stories, so I just want to share stories. But this is not my story. This is a story from our team that just got back from Uganda. And some friends of ours, people at our church, they just led some guys to Uganda, and they've been going there for years now. And just amazing things happening in Uganda. But this is a crazy story, so I'm telling you it's crazy so that you can be prepared for it to be crazy. Okay, so it might stretch you. So just be prepared for that. So they're in Uganda, and there's this particular tribe, and there's this village that is part of this particular tribe, and this particular village has a talking turtle. Yep, you heard me correct. The turtle is talking. It's possessed by a demon spirit, and they actually have this turtle in a hut, and it's commanded for this girl to be her like the turtle's prophet, the turtle's prophetess. And so the turtle will speak to this girl. And this girl, it's obviously a demonic spirit, and, you know, stuff like this, I suppose, happens in Africa. And we'll speak to this girl, and then the girl will go give the messages from the turtle to the village. And the village, messages like this: if you leave, I'll kill you. And, like, people are dying. Like, it's for real. You know, this is, like, heavy stuff. This village is freaking out. They're totally, like, under the oppression of this demonic spirit that has housed itself inside a turtle, speaking in their language through the turtle's mouth. It's just crazy. And anyway, our team, they get asked to go to this village to deliver it from the oppression, the demonic oppression through this turtle, this talking turtle, which I think is fascinating. And so the village, because they don't have phones in this particular village, the village doesn't know that they're coming or if they're going to come or anything like that, and they don't even know that they've been asked to come. And so, but the turtle kind of twigs to what's happening. And so they're on their way, they get to the village, and they start doing this stuff in the village and blah, blah, blah. And partway through what they were doing, the girl comes, and says, I'm the girl that's been, you know, partnering with this demonic turtle. But the turtle told me that there were people coming to kill it. And so it's run away. It's run away. And the turtle ran away. Anyway.
Slowly.
Slowly. Yeah. Isn't this crazy? Anyway, this girl's like, the family of this girl are saying, you're not allowed to pray for her. You can't pray. And they're like, can we please pray for her? And they're like, not allowed to pray for her. Because she's like tapu. She's holy, you know. And so she's revered. She's like the one that's cursed people and they die. And, you know, she's like, don't mess with this girl. In fact, the whole tribe, the entire African tribe, a large tribe, is freaked out of this particular girl. And she's held in really high esteem. And so she goes back into the house. And one of the young girls from our church, she hears the Holy Spirit say to her, go into the house and sing over her. And now she's walking in an open heaven, you know. How many know God's open heaven is more powerful than any demonic open heaven? And the leader of the team's like, no going in the house. And so she's like, I really feel to go in the house. And so they talk and then they end up going in together. And this girl's there, and the mum, by the way, which they didn't know at the time, has walked in with a knife to kill them in the village. It's just the other week. And so Taylor, the girl, she says, I'm going to sing over. She starts just singing, and this girl starts manifesting this demon. She starts walking around like a turtle, like she starts just going crazy, like full-blown demonic manifestation. She's just going crazy. She runs outside, and some of the pastors are like running around just trying to make sure she's not going to hurt anyone and stuff. And anyway, she's just running around, and then Taylor like walks outside, and Karina walks outside, and they're out there, and they're like, oh, this is just a crazy demonic manifestation. She's running around like a monkey, and she's turning into a turtle. It's just like all the crazy manifestations you can think of in the world, all happening in one occasion. And then in an instant, she just drops to her knees, gets totally delivered of this demonic stuff. Now, what? I mean, that's got to be normal, right? If you walk in an open heaven, that's got to be normal to sing over somebody, just a song, and see them delivered of heavy demonic oppression. She drops to her knees and starts worshiping Jesus with tears coming down her face. She starts worshiping top of her lungs, just worshiping Jesus, tears streaming down her face. The mum, like I said, has got a knife, and Taylor says, you've got pain in your stomach, and you've been healed right now. She gets instantly healed. She gets rid of the knife and runs over and gives them a hug. They lead them to Jesus, and then they take this girl back and they start mentoring her at this house. Now, guess what happens now? This is just the other week, guys. The entire tribe, the entire tribe has asked for Karina, the leader of the team, to come to tell the entire tribe about Jesus. Now, this is kind of a big deal. Like the president of Uganda is going to be there at the meeting. Like, it's kind of a big deal. Like, the entire tribe is coming to receive Christ as a national event from a female speaker. They don't normally let females speak. I think kind of is normal if you walk in an open heaven to see nations transformed when you walk into them. Isn't that something we should expect? Like, maybe when I walk into my community tomorrow, whatever my community is, maybe I should just expect for such weighty divine appointments to happen in my day that literally my community would literally be transformed in a day through the open heaven that I carry, through the God that's with me everywhere I go. Maybe I could just start dreaming those kind of dreams and thinking those kind of thoughts and thinking, if God tells me to go to Indonesia, maybe I'll just go to Indonesia. And maybe I'll just believe that I'll go to Indonesia, and maybe we'll just see the entire nation changed. And maybe that's just normal Christian behavior. Maybe that's normal for an open heaven. And so I told you that would be the end. That's the end.